It's here and now. And a reminder now on our top story, President Obama said today that no American troops will be sent to Iraq, no combat troops to help the Iraqi government stop the advance of Sunni extremists. He will send, however, as many as 300 advisors, military advisors to the country. But he said in the end, it's really up to Iraqis to solve the crisis.
Above all, Iraqi leaders must rise above their differences and come together around a political plan for Iraq's future. Shia, Sunni, Kurds, all Iraqis must have confidence that they can advance their interests and aspirations through the political process rather than through violence.
President Obama said the Shiite Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki has to be part of that process, even though there have been calls for him to step down.
I think the test is before him and other Iraqi leaders as we speak. Right now, they can make a series of decisions. Regardless of what's happened in the past, right now is a moment where the fate of Iraq hangs in the balance.
That's President Obama speaking at the White House this afternoon. And stay with NPR throughout the day for more coverage and analysis of this story. Well, more than 100,000 Cambodians have fled Thailand in recent days. They're apparently leaving because they fear Thailand's new military rulers are about to crack down on migrant workers there, and many of those migrant workers are Cambodian. The new military rulers deny that they are about to crack down, but there's no denying they are suppressing any resistance to their rule. This is part of the fallout from last month's coup, which ousted the government of Yingluck Shinawat. Leaders of the so-called Red Shirt movement, which supported Yingluck Shinawat's government, were detained after that coup, and they signed agreements to abandon all political activity. There are also thousands of people in the countryside of Thailand, though, who still support Shinawat. The BBC's Southeast Asia correspondent Jonathan Head reports.
A storm has blown down a tree in Bunsom's rice fields, and he and his wife make the most of the windfall, cutting it into firewood. They live in a hut they built in the fields. It has no electricity, no running water, and right now they don't have enough spare cash to hire a tractor for ploughing. So he has little time for politics. Yet this couple, at the very bottom of Thailand's economic pecking order, are passionate about politics. They met at the Red Shirt rallies they both attended over the past 6 years, sometimes making the long trek to the capital, Bangkok. At those rallies, Red Shirt leaders told them to get ready to resist a military coup. But now the coup has happened, most of those leaders have told their followers to cooperate with the military instead. It's left Bunsom unsure what to do, but still unwilling to accept the new order.
For now, we'll just wait and watch what they do. They can't stay in power for long. Even though they have weapons, we're not scared of them. After all, we, the people of the Northeast, outnumber the soldiers. There are more people in a few of our villages than in the whole army.
This time, I don't want to leave Thailand, but I just, in suspect, I didn't trust the army.
I met up with Inki, a Red Shirt organizer I'd first encountered in Udon 6 months ago. Today, her radio station, like hundreds that backed the Red Shirt cause, has been shut down by the army. Her house has been raided, and she's gone into hiding, moving from place to place, fearful of being arrested.
I feel mad, angry, confused, and I feel like no hope for Thailand. Now they said, okay, we're going to bring peace and happiness back to Thai people. I wonder how.
Do most people accept that they have to stop all their Red Shirt activities now?
They have to stop because a gun point to your head. What you can do? We have to stop. We have to. But we don't want to.
The army has set up checkpoints on all the main roads around Udon. It says it's looking for weapons. But it's also detaining anyone who might organise opposition to the coup. Most are eventually released after signing pledges to give up political activity. But not all. The military has made it clear that this time it will finish what it left unfinished after the last coup. And that means dismantling the political networks in the north and northeast that have given parties run by the Shinawat family victories in every election for the past 14 years. This is Deputy Chief of Staff, General Chachalam Chalamsuk.
You know, we carried out a coup 8 years ago. We drafted a new constitution. We held a referendum. But it did not go as planned. We were criticized for not doing things we should have done, or for doing some things too quickly. So this time, we must address those faults before another election is held.
In Bangkok, small numbers of protesters have continued to brave the army's ban on political activity, mindful of the media scrutiny they get in the capital. People are being arrested just for flashing the three-fingered salute that's become the symbol of dissent. But up in the northeast, fear of what the army might do has stifled all open opposition. I went back to Nong Hu Ling, the first community which declared itself a red village. It was unnaturally silent. The banners and flags declaring their loyalty to the Red Shirt movement now gone. When I came here 6 months ago, the village head's house was a hive of activity. People preparing communal meals and discussing how they could counter the royalist yellow shirt protests in Bangkok, which were then crippling the government. Kamsem Chaiteb, the village head's wife, showed me a giant poster of Thaksin Shinawat on the side of her house, the man they say did so much to improve their lives. Now they keep the poster hidden in a spare room.
I can't eat. I can't sleep. It's torturing me, this situation. I can't accept it. I would love to speak out, but I can't. If I speak out, I'll have to leave the country.
The military is planning to establish reconciliation centres in which it hopes people from the red shirt strongholds can be persuaded to give up their colour-coded politics. That's probably a forlorn hope, though, given the view that so many red shirt supporters have of the army not as a neutral peacemaker, but as a force that's taken sides against them.
The BBC's Jonathan Head reporting from Thailand. You're listening to Here and Now.